first just a dream has become a frightening reality to those who may oppose us.
That wasn't slow enough.
It wasn't Maybe slow it wasn't enough.
To those who may oppose
Turn that
us.
Into like 0.5 speed and then you're Thrawn.
There's my Thrawn. I finally finished.
The Thrawn you can barely hear.
I should have brought my red eyes to do a Thrawn.
I forgot you got the red eyes and blue skin.
Oh, I forgot. I left that in the car.
Welcome back to the Star Wars Guys podcast. As always, we're your hosts. We've got Mike, who's back this week.
Hello there.
Myself, Nate. Hello there.
This is now Thrawn doing Obi-Wan quotes.
And Uncle, who's not here.
He's not here. We think he's maybe far, far away.
Some would say.
Far,
that
far
reminds
away.
Me.
Hopefully he's not in...
Hopefully he's not.
I, not in, I almost said Purgle Prison, but they're not locked up.
Purgle Graveyard.
Purgle Graveyard. Yeah.
That's worse.
Yeah.
Some would say.
Elephant
anyway,
Graveyard.
Welcome
Scar
back.
Says not
we
to
are
go.
Diving into another episode of Ahsoka. I mean, hard to top last week's episode, and then we get another great episode. Very different than the week before. A lot of good stuff to dive into. A lot of anticipated things that finally came to fruition.
And we have our shirts.
In this episode. Yeah, we got
Ahsoka. And I'm rocking old school Legends EU Heir to the Empire shirt with some characters that are not quite Baylan. But
not quite Baylan.
Not quite Baylan. But we do have Grand Admiral Thrawn right here.
Not
in his
Baylan yet. Maybe it's what's calling to him.
He was on the Jedi and then he decided, I'm Baylan.
That's he did.
Yeah, this
said,
is
going to
be a fun one.
This is going to be great. We're going to dive into it, Ahsoka Episode 6. But before we do that, Mike's been itching at trying to talk about, I don't know, this. Apparently there was a good episode that came out last week, Episode 5.
That I
missed.
Was out of town for.
Yeah, he was out of
I
town
mean, I
for.
Watched the episode when it came out, but I didn't get to talk about it on the podcast. I put in some stuff in the chat.
He did.
But I don't type that fast.
And that's what it's like.
Yeah. The whole time I'm sitting there typing.
It's like, they're already on to the next thing.
No, gosh. And then all of a sudden I found out, you know, I'm watching a recording. This is recorded 12 hours before. They're not getting any of this stuff.
Well, yeah, so Mike's going to share a couple thoughts real quick of episode 5 because we'll never get over that episode. It was so good.
Well,
so
I mean, to kick it off, some of this stuff I know you guys did talk about because I did watch the podcast.
Darth, welcome. Welcome. Hello there.
Hello there. Real quick, couple minutes on episode 5.
Wait, you watched the podcast?
Oh, I watched it on YouTube.
Oh, nice.
So all of you who are watching, listening, however you take in our podcast, why? No.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Couple minutes on episode 5 before we get into Far, Far Away, episode 6, because I didn't get to share on air. Obviously, I absolutely was obsessed with last week's episode. Loved it. I've rewatched it like 4 or 5 times at least already. And a couple of things that I wanted to talk about specifically. I know we had talked about making our predictions of when we would see Anakin. Okay, we knew in the episode before when they tease Anakin at the end, hello, Snips, didn't think I'd see you so soon.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden, okay, next episode we're going to get a lot of Anakin. I was blown away by how good he looked.
Hell yeah, it looked incredible.
I know you guys have talked about this.
Hayden
but
always looks great.
I mean, it's Hayden. But as far as the way that they were able to pull it off and... The testament to that is in previous iterations of doing things technology wise with de-aging or doing the deep fake stuff like they've done with Mark Hamill where they put it on another
scene in any
and again, I do get that the process is different, that having Mark Hamill's face on another actor is a different technological process than taking the same actor and turning back the clock a little bit. But whatever they did, they pulled it off so well. And again, we've recently seen Indiana Jones, and obviously that's even harder. You're going from Harrison, who's 80, to Harrison, who's like in his 40s. Yeah. But I both, the whole time, kept saying, oh my gosh, he looks so good, without also being distracted by what's going on. Because there are other times when they pull off something, I'm like, I'm so focused on how they do this, how they do this, that I'm a little bit out of the scene. Where for episode 5, every single, you know, when she's talking to him in the World Between Worlds on the bridge and they're talking, and then also in the flashback, especially in the flashback, maybe my favorite is, one, they nailed sometimes with the costumes. I think even a little bit of, and it's hard because it was a different actor, but I think even a little bit of Luke in Book of Boba Fett, I, as a super fan, like watching, Not as a fan who's better than any of you. That's not what super fan means. It means that I am a fan, but I'm also super. I'm special.
Yeah.
I just wanted to clear that up. No, but the hair with watching with Luke, it's not even a nitpick, but I was like, oh, it's not quite Mark Hamill's hair. Like, the hairstyle looked very similar in the Book of Boba Fett episode, but I'm like, I can tell they're trying to redo the hair, but I can tell that it's different. I can tell it's different guy. This was like, whatever they did for the wig or whatever they're doing for Hayden's long hair looked like just like Revenge of the Sith. Like,
and
they
the different
nailed
styles.
It. But then I was going to say, and then my favorite is seeing Hayden in the time period that we've never seen him in, which is Clone Wars. We've seen him at the beginning of Clone Wars, where he's young, he's got the Padawan braid, and the hair is going
braid,
up.
Yeah.
But we've only seen... Hey, Siri, stay out of this. Oh, Padawan braid, Wikipedia. Never mind, Siri, you're welcome. You can come back. But seeing Anakin both as the mentor figure that we've... Or seeing Hayden as both the mentor figure that we've never seen, because we saw Hayden before, at the beginning of the Clone Wars, like pre-Clone Wars, beginning of Clone Wars, and end of Clone Wars. And then Matt Lanter obviously brilliantly plays Anakin. I almost said Hayden. Plays Hayden. like a fiddle.
Like a fiddle.
I don't know why Trump's playing fiddle. But I loved both the hair, the look, but also I was blown away by how good, I mean, it's just a good reminder of how great his acting chops actually are. Like, the watching, the going from incorrect, and like all of a sudden his face is completely Vader-esque when he's fighting her.
His demeanor is
you just lack conviction, and he's fighting her and stuff, and then
he really went straight back
to
the character.
Straight into the, there's still hope for you yet. And like in his
the back and
like
forth,
the softness, the kindness, Snips, and one is loving, you know. One's never too old to learn, Snips. There's so many great things. There's some great quotes in there that I think are all-time great Star Wars quotes, as far as they're up there with some of the...
some of the greatest Star Wars moments.
You know, as Jedi, it's our responsibility to lead. Doesn't mean we don't make mistakes.
Yeah.
And then she's like, yeah, but our mistakes cost lives. Doesn't that bother you? Of course it does. Like, there's this back and forth and this kindness between the two of them. While also him teaching her the ultimate lesson of, hey, you got to fight to survive, especially in the times. We must adjust to the times.
I also liked him talking about the how she's like, how can you be joking in a time like
I'm
this?
I'm joking.
Like, how can you be joking in a time like this? And I think it was just showing, one, that's kind of how Anakin is portrayed in the Clone Wars, because it's an animated show, that there's jokes sometimes. You could look at it and be like, oh, because this is animation, you can make jokes like that. That's in
a
serious, in the heat of battle, And so they kind of touched on that, but I also think it's a testament to Anakin. Kind of, it's like a nod to Ahsoka of like, even though these are hard times, we still have to remain human. Like, we can't just let this become our identity.
We're not just mindless.
And that's kind
soldiers.
Of the path that Ahsoka was on, was being grown in a world of just being a warrior. Like he says, when I grew up, they grew at the temple and taught to be protectors of peace and justice. Mm-hmm. I have to raise you and train you to be a warrior, to be a fighter.
I train you to be a soldier.
Yeah, soldier.
By the way.
And so that for her was being grown up in a different lifestyle, but then Anakin's also kind of doing a reminder of like, we have to still remain human.
On that note, the importance of seeing Ahsoka, young Ahsoka in live action. I didn't really think about it until seeing her in live action, but it reminds you, because it gets lost sometimes in animation, or maybe it doesn't have the same effect sometimes, just how young she was when she had to become a soldier. Like, in the animation, they make it clear when she's young, and they make it clear that she's older.
But because she's not human, it's...
Because she's not human, you're like, I can't
tell.
Is she, you know, 19? Or is she 12? Like, well, that's closer to like
17,
yeah,
I
she
think.
Was
16, 17 at that
and,
time.
Well, and at the beginning, in the first battle, she's even younger.
Yeah.
And then by the end, she's a
fighting
little bit
Maul.
Older.
She fought Maul and wins at age 17 or something. Crazy.
But I see, just loved it. Love that episode so much.
Darth says, in quotes, "It's the Clone Wars." Yeah, no kidding. My favorite Anakin line.
Yeah, no kidding.
This is great.
I love it so much.
They're just such a good job of Here's why I loved that episode, and we'll move on to episode 6 because we want to get to a lot of the good stuff here.
Oh, yeah.
One of the main reasons why I loved episode 5 so much is that I think for those who haven't seen Rebels or Clone Wars, watching episode 1, 2, 3, and 4 of Ahsoka, as someone who has seen those, I was like, we talked about it on the podcast, I'm sure people are slightly confused about what's kind of going on. And then they throw out episode 5, and I think it was a good job of not just paying homage to those that have seen the Clone Wars and kind of basically rewarding those of us that have seen Clone Wars and Rebels, but it also was a way that they utilized to kind of catch everybody else who hadn't seen those up to speed as well. Like,
yeah,
these are moments in time that they were there for. This is kind of the background of Ahsoka's character. Here's what she's struggling with. She's been carrying this weight of Anakin, her master, becoming Vader all these years. It's a barrier that she has to overcome. And basically bringing all that to fruition for those who hadn't seen that, but then also rewarding those who have seen the shows. I thought it was a great balance between the
and
two.
And how about this, too? Because I don't know if you guys, if you and Uncle last week had talked about this on the podcast. I did watch.
I did watch.
I didn't take notes, but I did watch. How about the fact that they actually explained a lot less about the world between worlds than we thought they were going to, which actually catches up the audience even a little bit faster, if that makes sense. So we thought, oh, they're going to have to catch up the audience because the world between worlds is going to be used in a way that's similar to how we saw it used in Rebels. And that's not what it was at all.
And I love that.
If they had gone down that route, they would have had to spend a lot longer explaining what's going on.
With the pulling.
With the pulling, with time, with this. Instead, they use the world between worlds in this show as almost just an ethereal netherworld of the Force.
Yeah.
Almost like this is King. This felt like King's Cross, like the Dumbledore. It really felt Dumbledore, Harry Potter, when.
Am I dead?
Is this real or is it all inside my head? Well, of course it's inside your head, Harry. But why should they make it not real? It was that moment that was felt very similar to this.
Yeah.
Of like, I'm sitting there thinking, and she's not asking, like, is this real? Is this this? But he's giving us clues of good. There's hope for you yet, and like you might survive. And then she wakes up in the water. And even though I do think, for a couple reasons, I do think it is it's both maybe inside her head. It's an actual Force experience, but
physically,
she is transported into this because Carson says we've gone over the water over and over. There's nothing out there until all of a sudden she is there.
Until she is there, yeah.
And Jason directs him a little more of where
he hears it too.
He hears the sabers
happening in the Force.
He hears the sabers. But Carson, I saw a great tweet that said, "Listen, end of debate. If my man Carson said he looked, Carson looked. He was not there.
Carson."
Someone tweeted out and said, "Enough of this Carson slander. Anyone who's acting like
also
was she actually there and they missed? Carson doesn't miss.
Yeah, Carson doesn't miss.
Carson doesn't miss. One of my favorite parts of the whole episode is Jason has abilities. His father, Kanan Jarrus, was a Jedi. Okay."
No, okay.
What? I saw a bunch of people that said that was literally Carson was being everyone who hasn't seen Rebels.
Just accepting it.
And just like, okay, new information, whatever. His dad was Jedi.
Yeah.
All right, whatever. Let's roll with it. That is the perfect delivery.
Someone else posted about Carson, said Carson has the most impressive friend list in the galaxy.
He does. He's got text from Leia. She's not coming.
He's met everybody.
Leia, she's helping. Yep. Do you want me to dial up that other Mando guy we need?
Yeah.
Is there some guy named Boba Fett, crime lord, but doesn't want to be?
I'm not sure. Well, Luke and Grogu.
Luke and Grogu's over here. He knows everybody.
He knows everybody.
And then the other thing I wanted to say as far as it being an actual, I know we need to get to episode 6, so this might be my last point on this, but I know you guys talked about it a little bit, but I just wanted to restate my thoughts. Also of why I believe this is not just Ahsoka and like a memory of Anakin and that that's all in her own head, but that it is Force, like manifest, the Force is actually influencing this and that this is actually in some ways the actual spirit of Anakin Skywalker there, is because of the things that he knows and says and the things that he doesn't know, makes this feel like if this all was a projection from her own mind, she wouldn't be saying lines that only Anakin knew, or she wouldn't be saying like when he says, I don't know this battle. She knows he wasn't there.
Yeah, she
but
says,
like the way he says it
here,
is interesting because he's like, I don't know this, like, which it's also amazing that the battle that she goes to is one, a pivotal moment for her. While she, I mean, she's literally, this is a Siege of Mandalore. This ends with the fighting of Maul, all of this stuff. I just rewatched some of that Whitworth's voice acting. That's incredible when she fights him.
Whitworth is
and
incredible.
Then they, and then the clones capture him in midair and like put, you know, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're all going to die. We're all going to die. And he's like saying that you don't know what's coming, but like Sidious's plan is about to go into effect, and we're all done for. But that moment when he says, "I don't know this battle," but then also the, "I won't fight you." I've heard that before, and that is very specific. I know you guys had talked about it, and I was putting it in the chat, and I saw some other people online were pointing it out as well that. It's not just a call to Twilight of the Apprentice, the episode from Rebels, because she actually is fighting him, and she hurts
you.
She breaks
again.
His mask. This is actually when she's almost defeated. Yeah. Like she gets him. I won't leave you. Not this time.
Darth
you will
in the chat.
Die.
Let me go. Let me die, Maul.
Yeah, let me go. Let me die. It's crazy.
Crazy.
But because he says, I've heard that before. That is. I will not fight you, Father. And that's we're talking Revenge of the Sith, or Revenge of the Sith, Return of the Jedi. So I loved. This will segue into I think this episode six
Seeing
discussion
Hayden
now
with the red saber too is just so sick.
How about as we get into episode six now, and one of the last things,
find out everything you can about this Jedi. Her master, her affiliation. Like,
ooh, the fact that he brings up her master.
I know.
Ron is going to bring up a little Anakin, which, for those of you who haven't read some of the new Thrawn books, I'm not even saying that they'll necessarily tie into this. Heir of the Empire is the original Thrawn book in the Thrawn trilogy with some of those original books. But the ones that came out in the most recent years, one of the books, I want to say it's the second of the new Thrawn books, because I read... At least
Carson
three
is
of the
Nick
new...
Fury of Mandoverse. True.
He is. One of the books that came out, one of the newest Thrawn books came out in the last few years, a young Thrawn and a young Anakin Skywalker spent almost the entire book together. Pre-Vader. And it jumps back and forth between Thrawn before and Thrawn after. And the book is about a number of things, but the book is about Thrawn piecing together, and we believe that Thrawn is figuring out that Anakin Skywalker, who he wants, because Thrawn in some of the novels, especially even in some of the newer novels, is not 100% bad guy all the time. He's presented a little bit more like that in definitely in the animated show. They lean more just kind of pure villain. In this show, at least, seemed like they're leaning more pure villain.
Yeah, they are.
Because they're building up to be like the next big bad. But in this book, in general, Anakin helps him. They're stranded. I want to say they even go to, it might even be Batu. And this is a connection to Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
And then they're on like Batu. They have to go do a couple of things like together. They somehow get stranded together, and Anakin is helping him, and he's like kind of admires Anakin, and then later it's flashing back to times when he's now serving with the Emperor, because this is before he was kind of all the way with the Empire. This is when he was a rescued Chiss. He was Chiss who had kind of like is an exile. They find him. This is before he was rising up in the ranks, and he knows young Anakin at the time, and. Then he is piecing together. Wait, Anakin, who was that? Who's this Darth Vader person? As he's rising up through the ranks, and he starts piecing together that Anakin Skywalker is Darth Vader. So the reason I bring that up is I know a lot of people haven't read those books, probably that are watching this show for the first time. I don't know if they'll go down that route at all for this, but there is in not just Legends, in new canon, Disney Star Wars canon, there is a big tie between Anakin Skywalker and Thrawn. And so it's very interesting that the way that this ended was him saying, find out about the master and this and all this. And I think maybe even Alex Damon.
Especially coming off the previous episode.
So interesting. Just, yeah. I mean, at the very least, we could get some Anakin mentions and some interesting stuff. Yeah. We'll see how far they go down that rabbit hole, but interesting.
Yeah. Paul Allen says, hello in the chat. If Thrawn brings up his meeting with Anakin from the books, it will be a win for the fans.
Yes, yeah, we're talking about.
It'd be pretty cool.
That's what I was just talking about. That would be cool.
let's dive into.
Yeah, I know we went very specific before we went overall, but just thinking that
we'll dive into a lot of that stuff with Thrawn and just our thoughts of his appearance, and there's a lot of details and cool things to discuss. So we'll try to briefly go from topic to topic about this episode, but we always like to start with kind of overall thoughts. So what did you think overall episode? Yay or nay? I don't know.
I'd say hip hip hooray.
That wasn't an option.
No. Yay, nay, or hip, hip, hooray? Next time Uncle's here, we have...
Yay, right. Nay, or hip,
we're doing
hip, hooray.
Yay, nay, or hip, hip, hooray? No, I loved this episode. I think that... I mean, the show... To me, there hasn't been an episode of this show that I've been like, eh. I mean, even in other shows that we've really enjoyed, other... I mean, Book of Boba Fett's one that comes to the top of my head. But there are episodes that upon watching it live and watching
Geekdom's
on rewatch.
Podcast says hooray.
Hooray. There
yes,
we go.
Yes, hooray.
There are episodes of some of the other series that are like, oh, I love these. I love 4 out of the 6 episodes. Or I love 5 out of the 6 episodes. And there's none of them that I like hated or disliked. But there are some that I'm like, that felt like a weaker episode. In this show... I think they started strong, but they started strong in a way that was not like, here's all your answers, here's this. I mean, the first episode is very much catching up people who haven't seen Rebels, yeah. And I'm just excited seeing everything in live action, being introduced to Baylan and Shin and seeing Morgan Elsbeth again. But now seeing where this has gone, where now we have 2 episodes remaining in this season. And again, they might do a season 2. We know the movie is coming a couple years from now. But seeing the payoff of the slow build of getting to Grand Admiral Thrawn finally appearing in live
action.
And
not appearing in the last episode either, no. As some people predicted.
And not in, some people predicted in the flat, it might be in the last few minutes of the last episode.
Yeah.
And that they would be kind of reveal him almost in, even though he was revealed a little bit earlier, I want to say, in season 1 of Mando. Remember how Giancarlo Esposito, his character is revealed. Like, he's in the mate. He's really in the last episode, episode 8. And it ends with him with the dark saber. And like, oh, my goodness, what's going on? And then it kind of ends on that cliffhanger.
Teased, and then next
he's
season.
Alive, and then next season. This is, they've been building him up. People have been mentioning his name. But the show had to do a good job of, this is someone that the regular audience or just the average audience member who maybe doesn't know much about Thrawn or maybe hasn't read the books, doesn't know anything about Thrawn, has to understand why are these characters so afraid? Why would Ahsoka say that that Sabine made the wrong choice?
I'm
in her
still
opinion.
Wondering that, honestly. Like, and there's a level of, we know who Thrawn is, we know that he's been a big threat, but
for those people
that are wondering, because I saw someone actually commented on one of my posts on Twitter and said, like, I haven't seen the shows. Can someone catch me up on like why Thrawn is such a big threat? And to be honest, as much as we know about Thrawn, we don't entirely know at this point why he is such... Like, I feel like Ahsoka knows more than what the audience knows in terms of why... Because they know that his... they know he's brought war in his style before, so they know that. But I feel like they're making it out to be even more than that. And
well, they're doing a really good job right now of almost feeling like this is almost an emperor level, like...
Yeah.
But in his own way. He's not force sensitive. He doesn't use the force. What I think people, so someone who grew up, I mean, I'm repping the Year of the Empire shirt, is someone who grew up reading the original Thrawn books and then loves that Dave Filoni, when doing Star Wars Rebels, pulled an actual character who's directly just an EU character. This was someone who was not created by George Lucas. pulled him into that show and made him canon and kept him very similar. Again, there's some differences, but kept him very similar to the original character, and the fact that he's, you know, he's so different. This is what I want everyone to get excited about when with what we're going to get from Thrawn, whether it's how much we're going to get in this season. There's still two episodes left, so we're going to get a lot. But also what's coming forward for the film and the trajectory of this, you know, Imperial Remnants era. Thrawn is dangerous, very different. Excuse me. Very different from the Emperor or Tarkin. I would say more similar to the Empire or to the Emperor as more similar to Palpatine as a political like maneuvering the way that Palpatine maneuvers politically and is like super smart. He's always a couple steps ahead. That is Thrawn in war, though, meaning he's not like, oh, let me talk to this politician and this. He's cold-hearted, but he's like calculated. He's smooth.
He's very calculated.
Everything is okay. Well, this we can do this, and
the same can be said for your mercenaries.
Like he's like, cool. They might probably stay and die as well then, because we've got work
to
do.
They used to be Jedi too. They're a threat.
He used to be Jedi too. That means he should also be considered as flawed.
Yeah.
And you're like, he has this manner of speak of, this is not it, so this is it, this is it. But he's also, so he's a chess grandmaster. And again, I can't wait to see the way that Dave will likely show. I would guess in the next two episodes, we will get some of his, I mean, honestly, they might come back. It looks like they're probably going to leave. If we're talking predictions, they're probably going to leave. And they're coming back, like they might be taking off. Ahsoka comes in with the space whales, but now Thrawn and the witches, the Night Sisters, are headed back to their own actual galaxy, and the New Republic fleet might be there, and Thrawn is going to be there, and you're going to see before the end of the season Thrawn doing what he does. And you're going to know by the end of the season, oh my goodness, this is why he's terrifying.
He's going to take out like half the fleet.
And he's going to do it. And he's going to do it not in a way of just like, he's not Captain Kennedy. Fire on those cruisers. Even though I love like classic bad guy.
Yeah.
He's like, no, we'll do this and then we'll fake them out. And
let
then we'll
them,
do this,
let
and
them
then
come
this.
Here. They think
and they're coming here and this. And he'll just outmaneuver them in this way. This is why Ahsoka's like, you don't understand. Thrawn.
He's a genius.
Thrawn ruthlessly killed, you know, friends of mine. The reason Kanan's dead is because of Thrawn and what they were doing on Lothal and with Governor Price and all these people, and that's what led to the death of.
Yeah, I like what. So,
there's tons of stuff. But Nate, overall thoughts?
It was great. I like how.
If we did that, was all my overall thoughts. You still
Darth
have
said, I love the design of the stormtroopers. Yay. It was so great. I love the one thing about Thrawn is that we know he loves art. It's like a part of his character that makes him unique and different than just like a
he
typical
guy. He studies other people's art
he
and he learns
the
about their
of the different species.
He'll look at
and
their
stuff.
Artwork and go, okay, I know everything I need to know about the Mandalorian.
Yeah, and he appreciates that. And so seeing that kind of Japanese, you know, broken pot style of.
Also, like Army of the. It felt like Army of the Dead or the Undead. This felt like almost Lord of the Rings, like Aragorn leading.
Like, not even thinking for themselves.
Like, yeah, they felt like zombie.
Yeah, it did feel like that. Now, like if zombie, are they actually? I don't know, but. Know?
There's some red stuff on there. Because there's a lot of red on there, and these particular Night Sisters were doing their little red thing and dressed in red. I saw some people that were wondering, like,
he said, your mothers,
I need
more of your dark magic. Like, people
were
wondering, like, are these.
Is his whole army like undead?
They felt very cult.
And they already teased Merrick like not being real, like an embodiment of the dark of dark magic.
Well, who knows what's going on with Enoch?
Yeah, Enoch is insane.
But this felt very cult like. This was the spookiest Star Wars we've gotten in a long time, as far as like.
Yeah, I mean, it came off very Thrawn-esque, and which is kind of like sinister in a way.
Yeah, and like these,
like eerie.
Oh, very eerie.
Yeah.
Also, sorry, you were going to read comment.
Yeah, I was going to. Paul then said, because he's able to unite. Also, this was your guess on what makes him such a big threat. He'll be able to unite the Imperial Remnant forces and start a new war with the New Republic. Yeah, that could be it, because everybody pretty much will know his name in the Empire.
I mean, also, how about, I'm pulling up a couple of screenshots because I saw some good tweets talking about some of this. But we talked about the buildup of Thrawn. I think the reveal was incredible. Having his Star Destroyer, the Chimera, I think is what it was.
Yeah.
The way that it just pulls up behind the
thing. Also, the shot.
That shot is insane. And then the shot of it sitting on top of the thing.
Yeah, the shot of it sitting. But
that felt the most expensive. That looked incredible.
It looked Rogue One.
The shot of, I like how they fake us out again. Like, I'm sorry, Sabine, you can't use the Force yet.
I know.
I saw someone saying every time they mess with this thing, it's
I wonder if they keep doing that because eventually she'll do it. I don't know.
But this, and then the whole thing starts shaking. And I was like, no way. And then I thought, as soon as they cut outside, I was like, it's Thrawn.
Yeah.
But then you see the platform, but the way that the Chimera rises up behind it, and then you see the grand scale of it, and then the ship at this point is like a zombie ship.
It's damaged, yeah.
It's damaged. Engines missing.
And I noticed, I'm like, oh, it's damaged, but it's from the whales wrapping around it and taking it with Ezra.
It's been 10 years now or whatever, too.
Yeah.
Think about, like, what you saw in Andor and what you saw in just early versions of Ahsoka. These ships are, you know, they're worked on. It's like any space, you know, imagine an airplane that for 10 years went and then now it has no crew and stuff, like panels are falling off. But the whale's wrapped around it. It blasts in this other galaxy. Who knows if it, I mean, it's surprising it's even this good a shape, but that reveal of Thrawn, I think they did such a good job taking their time.
It was very
Rebels-esque
cinematography, too, with that shot of him coming in.
And it had the symbols on the bottom of it, too, of his exact thing. That was awesome.
So cool.
Can I take a second to say Kevin Kiner and the music in this is outstanding?
The ending music at the end of every episode? I just sit there and listen.
Phenomenal.
I'm like, this is incredible.
The music, the Thrawn music, okay, this is another thing I wanted to bring up. Because we're talking about the music. The music has been, to me, top-notch. Some of the best Star Wars music we've gotten that's out. Like, obviously, there's John Williams, who is Star Wars music. And then there's everyone else who is trying to do stuff that feels like Star Wars and this.
Ludwig
and a lot of them
done
do
a
great job. Kevin Kiner, though, what he's doing with the music in this, to me,
is incredible. Sounds like mystery. So like, you hear it, and I think, that's like world between
worlds.
Oh,
yeah. So one of the things I want to talk about with this episode is the feel of this episode to me, and this I'm a massive fan of this franchise now. I wasn't growing up because I didn't read the books or anything until recently. But this going to this other galaxy, Peridia is the planet. This felt like an episode. This episode felt like Dune, and I mean that in the best way possible. Because I'm a massive fan of Denis Villeneuve's Dune film, but the reason I say this felt like Dune, the ship when they're coming out of the thing is a different space, like a different starship. That I was like, what is that? It's like a gold starship. It felt Dune-esque.
Mm-hmm.
The Night Sisters again, which we've seen the Night Sisters are in this.
Great. Dude, the building, the structure was very Minas Tirith.
There it was. Very much.
Very Lord of the Rings. As soon as I saw it, I was like,
how about
Filoni?
The Night Sister statues? How about the Death Mary type statues
it
that are
felt
there?
Felt very Lord of the Rings.
In.
But we know Filoni loves Lord of the Rings.
This is what felt Dune. It felt like Dune to me. One, the way it was filmed and stuff, it felt like this sci-fi fantasy, but like, just hardcore and like the music and everything. But the Night Sisters are essentially, especially in this, the
great mothers. Hello, mothers.
Felt like the Bene Gesserit. The Bene Gesserit of Dune, which are, they're talking about the threads of fate. I mean, that's even going back to like the, like from Hercules, Greek mythology.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's wrong with these scissors? When they're trying to cut the threads of fate. But the fact that they're like, they're dressed, they felt like, again, the Night Sisters are actually from the Clone Wars, animated show. But the way that they brought them into live action felt very much, as someone who's a fan of Dune, felt like the Bene Gesserit. Like, they're sitting there, like, talking about the threads of fate and this, and we've seen this, and their echoing voice.
Yeah.
It felt so, and again, it felt, like, creepy in the best way. I saw,
which
I think,
is what they're like
in
Clone
Wars. I think Alex Damon of Star Wars Explained said, yes, please, I had no idea that we in this show we'd be getting an origins of the Dathomiri Night Sisters. How about that canon reveal of... They originate from this planet, and they came over.
They
and
actually came to Dathomir.
This leads to a little bit of George Lucas and Filoni going back and forth back in the day during the Clone Wars. I was reading some stuff about how Filoni would ask George, like, so the Night Sisters use magic, so is that like the Force? And George's like, no. And then he's like, no, it's not the Force. And then Dave would be like, but isn't it kind of like the Force? Like, what's the difference? And George at the time was like still figuring it out.
Yeah.
This is a great way of kind of explaining it. It's almost like the Force or this magic. Yeah, it's not, it's unnatural,
it's
but it's also because it's not
Force.
From this universe. That yeah. This magic is actually brought from another galaxy, which is also yeah. interesting because it'll be interesting to see. I saw someone speculating, like, you know,
does the Force work
differently? Does the Force work differently over here? Because, the energy field that binds the galaxy together. Yeah, our galaxy. Yeah. What about other galaxies? Like,
yeah,
it could be interesting that like
they're opening the door for a lot of storytelling
different
if they
stuff,
want
and
to.
At the very least, it's opening good questions for comics and different things. And we'll see how much they go into all that. But I mean, those reveals, Thrawn. We haven't even talked about Ezra yet.
Yeah,
but
I want to get to some of the
turtle
stuff and
turtle
chat,
snail
too.
Guys too.
the
naughty,
slugs,
the noti,
the hermit crabs.
They're so great.
They're
I love
so
them.
Great. I do want to get to some of that. I want to address some of the stuff here in chat. I wonder if he's going to destroy, or how he's going to destroy the fleet with just his damaged ship. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see how much the Night Sisters, what they're actually able to do in helping him. What is the dark magic that he wants more of? What is it that he's already gotten?
Remind me that I have something to say about that, too.
Also, we see... So do you think all of those troops... This is by Darth. Do you think all of those troops are survivors from the Rebels finale? Possibly. I think that's part of what we're not sure. Are they all... Because he mentions his army has dwindled, but... Are they being, like, basically re-embodiments of the troops by the dark magic? We don't know.
These felt cult-like.
It did.
Thrawn. Like, the original troops aren't going emperor. They're soldiers.
Yeah.
These
and
felt
the,
like more
Enoch,
ghoulish.
Captain Enoch?
Enoch, yeah.
His voice is muffled. Like, it's intentionally muffled, like he's got the mask on, like Merrick's voice was.
Yep.
Let's see. Paul says, it's amazing Thrawn knows who Baylan is right away and remembers him from the Clone Wars. And he intentionally asks him, like, and you are? But he already knows, like, the name.
Must be General Baylan.
And then,
I love that quote. Yeah. You know, I parted with the Jedi long ago. You would not be the first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, also a reference to Anakin, but a reference to others who left the order.
Yeah. Yeah, and then
keep
last
going.
Thing Paul
keep
says
going,
is,
chat.
And we'll touch on this. He says, let's talk about Baylan. What did he feel on this planet? And I do want to talk about that. That's one of the topics I wanted to get to, is as Shin, Hati, and Baylan are, I think, some of what I am most interested in right now. Like, I love everything else that's going on, but I feel like I kind of have an idea. Like, obviously, Thrawn's big bad. Like, we kind of have an idea. Ezra's return. I think I have the most curiosity behind these two characters.
What the heck does Baylan want?
What does he want? What's calling to him? What's the stories of the Jedi Temple that he's heard about?
How about that he hasn't shared everything with her? Like, and he's like something, and she's like the Jedi Temple? Like, she like bright-eyed and like bushy-tailed was like, wait, are you telling me like she's
like
someone like who
me?
Grew up hearing about the Jedi, but she doesn't know because she didn't experience
it. Also
she's like,
seems
like me? And he's like, no, not like you. You're going to be something more.
Yeah, and it also seems like he's trained her, but like...
He hasn't told
we've
her
seen,
for
We've
sure.
seen from him that he doesn't... He looks down upon the Jedi because he's like, no, we're not Jedi. They were foolish and whatever like that. We've learned from the Jedi Order. But he clearly isn't like training Shin to just like hate Jedi because she's like, oh, like me? And he's like, no, yeah, you're not.
Yeah,
if like she if she's been taught these stories of the Jedi being evil, she'd be like, yeah, the Jedi are trash. Yeah,
we're Sith. And he doesn't call he's not a Sith either.
No,
he's
it's like
different.
He's a nomad, basically.
The
Boken Jedi, yeah. So I think it's so interesting, and I have some speculation behind these two. I do think one of them will end up turning to the light side and helping them against Thrawn. I don't know if it'll be Baylan. I feel like he's kind of got his mindset on searching this.
He said he wants to go back to the beginning.
He wants to go, yeah. And I don't know if that has to do with time or World Between Worlds or if that's just like there's something calling to him that he feels like could reset this. I also do love that they're calling out because this has been a path we see in Star Wars. We see it with the rise of the First Order and then it falls and then the Empire and it falls. And like we've seen the High Republic and it falls. And we see this kind of continual thing within the Star Wars storytelling, and Baylan's basically calling that out and saying
history repeats itself.
History has been repeating itself, and this is an opportunity to end that repetition and to actually gain true power and set things how we want it to be set so that it doesn't do that.
Make things the way we want them to be.
So I'm interested to see, one, what's calling to him, but I think Shin is also starting to have enough curiosity. Like, at the beginning of the series, it was almost like, the Master, and like still like on his side, but now her approach has been like, I don't know, it seems like she's starting to question almost what are we doing here?
I mean, Baylan
like,
flat
she even
out
says like what about us?
Baylan flat out says she said, isn't now the time, like now that with Thrawn's rise of power that we'll finally like come into power?
Yeah.
He said, that type of power is fleeting. He's like, he doesn't even like want to go with him.
No.
He's like, there's
he's
something
not even
here.
There for Thrawn.
Like, this is something, there's something that I want to go back to.
If the stories
the beginning,
if the
if
stories
the old
are
stories
true.
Are true. Like, if, what in the world are these stories? Okay, because I don't want to forget it.
I just love the curiosity
far, far,
behind this
far, far away.
Oh, yeah.
I loved that moment, too, because it was kind of a little, I saw a bunch
Who
of.
Who Yang's the narrator of Star Wars?
Well, they're also talking about how it was a little joke on the fans debating about which movies or even which trilogy are the best. Because it was like. History of the Galaxy, you know, History of the Universe, or whatever, parts 1, 2, and 3. 1 being the best, of course. That's Ahsoka says.
Yeah, exactly.
Which felt like us arguing or people debating of like, well, is New Hope or is it Empire? Like, is this? Or even some people said, or at this point it could be, is it original trilogy or prequel trilogy or sequel trilogy?
Yeah.
1 being the best, of course.
Of course.
And then he doesn't take the bait. He doesn't respond to it, which also felt like. It felt
and then
like
he starts
good.
With the.
It a long
he starts,
time ago
so it's
in the
literally
galaxy
the story of. It's them telling the stories of Star Wars. I love it. Hu Yang, who's lived through it all.
Yeah, he's lived through
25,000 years.
I love that. One thing I don't want to forget to bring up about the witches, the great mothers, the Night Sisters. I guess you wouldn't say that the Night Sisters of Dathomir, because they're actually. The Night Sisters of Dathomir came from here, I guess.
Which is why it's called Dathomir.
They're the Great Mothers. They're the original. Like they're
because they're Dathomiri.
The Dathomiri,
and then that's why it's called Dathomir.
The Great Mothers, the witches. Also, like Shin sitting there, and they're like,
more witches,
more witches. And I was almost like, shh, Shin, they have dark magic. Be quiet. Like they're gonna hear you.
Just look at them.
Yes, they're clearly witches. Okay. Thrawn's plan. I require more. We need more of your dark magic. And she's like, the threads of fate demand it, or something like that.
Yeah.
They also are talking about we need at least 3 rotations to load up the Night Sister cargo from the catacombs, which is where dead bodies are kept. So they're talking about them loading in a bunch of dead Night Sisters, dead
or just
witches.
Dead people. Dead people.
Yeah. The Night Sister cargo, either dead army, I mean, it could be whatever
they're
it is.
They're bringing the zombie.
They really are,
the
though.
Clone Wars zombie comics.
Either dead Night Sisters, dead soldiers, dead whatever. Could be dead nomads.
Darth said, I think Shin wants to kill a witch so badly. She does. Because she's the one that was talking back to Morgan, Elsbeth,
she's,
too.
She's always got this. She did.
She's
we'll
like,
take
we
it
got it.
Here.
We'll take it. She hates her.
She's just looking like, come on.
I don't know. I feel like there's something about her that she's going to recognize something and the level of threat. And also, as soon as they find out Thrawn is out, is going to try and kill them too, they're going to be like, okay, well, they're mercenaries, so they don't have a side. And as soon as they recognize Thrawn is going to let them die too, I feel like they might try to help or team. I don't know. It's crazy.
I can't wait to see where Baylan,
because we saw that with Ezra. We saw Ezra team up with Maul when he thought it would, when he believed it was deemed necessary to get to what they needed to get to.
Yeah,
it wasn't just like, oh, you're Maul, you're evil, you got a red lightsaber, I'll never work with you. It was, in this moment, we have to work together. Let's do it. And I could see that happening with Shin, maybe even Baylan too, against Maul. If Ezra's like, hey, we gotta do this. Ezra might even have some answers. After being there for 9 years, may come across Baylan and Shin and have some answers about the planet.
I thought the casting of Ezra was great. Fantastic. He seemed, I knew I could count on you, and it took you long enough.
Yeah.
It worked, didn't it? Like, that felt very much, yeah. Hey.
It worked, hey, though, didn't it?
It worked, didn't it?
Didn't it?
that's always, he always had this little, like, delivery in Rebels, which is always, what's your name? Hey. Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba the Hutt.
So it's just there's this little bit of confidence the to it a little bit. That's kind of funny. But now he's older, wiser, more mature, and he has a beard. So that's how I know he's
got a beard.
That's how I know he's one.
They did a good job making him look like the older Ezra we see with the long hair.
I saw some people that said, thank goodness, which I do kind of agree with, even though I didn't think it was negative in the first place. But I saw maybe it was... It might have been, I don't know who said it. Someone said, oh, I'm so glad that when we saw him, he wasn't just in his red uniform the whole time.
I know.
Because they're like, he would have looked kind of geeky like this whole time. But like, he looks like a nomad Jedi.
Oh, yeah. He's, like, he's been there for years.
Yeah.
I leave it to Ezra to
make friends with hermit crabs.
He's literally
just
said
hermit the crab.
I almost said hermit. With hermit the crabs. Because,
yeah,
Ezra.
Also,
always
so
talking,
much that he gave him his thing.
I know.
They're like, that's our bitch.
Yeah, I leave it to Ezra. He's always been like that.
He's like, hey, let's help him pack up. We're moving again.
We can't stay. We can only stay in one place for so long.
We can only stay in one place. And she's like, Ezra, I don't want to live with
bigger
things. We're not with these turtles, with these snails. We gotta go.
Also, How about Ezra or Sabine? Let's just like, we'll talk about that later.
I know. I saw some people criticizing that a little bit, or some people saying like,
it's
kind of urgent, and also kind of like, no, I've been stranded here for 10 years.
Thrawn literally just told you if you don't make it out, you're gonna be stranded here for 10 years.
I'm not just gonna be like, oh yeah, whenever you have time, let me know how you finally got to me. It needs to be the first thing you tell me.
Yeah,
like,
how the heck did you get here?
Yeah, I need to know. Also, if I'm Ezra, I'd be like, how'd you get here? Wait, how'd you get past Thrawn? Thrawn's still here, right? Like, I'd be asking all those questions.
Yeah.
And she's like, nah, just let me have this moment.
Yeah.
Like, wait a second.
I love you.
It's like, wait, I've been dreaming of this moment. I need to find out how you did it. No, tell me how you did it, literally, because if not, it's disrespectful, because I've been trying for 10 years to get out of here.
Exactly.
How did you manage to do this? Thrawn couldn't figure it out.
Darth says, imagine Ezra and Sabine versus Baylan and Shin. I think it's coming.
Oh, man.
Paul says, as much as I liked this episode, I didn't love the reunion. It felt weird. It looks like Ezra is hiding something. I don't know if it's as much as hiding something or just like almost numb to the fact that he's just been gone for so long and he's just kind of like, I don't know. I don't think we got enough in that scene. I think it was a little tease. They brought him back. They showed us Ezra. They show kind of the reunion, but we're going to get a lot more dialogue and info kind of on where things are moving forward in the next episode.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. This is just the beginning of Ezra. They didn't spend this long and this many years getting back to this, leading to this reunion moment for that to be it. Like, there's going to be a lot more.
Darth says, Thrawn's building an army of undead. Ezra's building an army of turtles. The war will move to the known galaxy.
If you want to know why somehow Palpatine returns, it's because Ezra's building a turtle snail army while Thrawn has an actual stormtrooper army with the witches of the Dathomir.
Yeah.
With their undead bodies and Star Destroyer. And he's like,
I wonder if this will result in the, like, possibly the end of the Night Sisters. Like, if this war of defeating Thrawn and them. And why do they seem to be worshipping Thrawn as well?
Because, like, they're so powerful. That's interesting,
they're,
right?
They have more power than Thrawn.
That's the thing.
Somehow
Thrawn has
been manipulative, and
he's so...
He
just has
whatever
this
it is. The presence of him has maybe he's just revealed to them, I've got this army and we can, like, I can lead us to that. But it does seem interesting that they would, I don't know, it just seems like an interesting partnership for Thrawn and them to be like, that's destiny, basically.
Yeah. How about,
I don't know. It's interesting.
So interesting. There's so many things that came up in this particular episode. How about I liked how Thrawn I saw two things. One, I liked the little loophole of how Thrawn's like, yes, you know, I told her she would have a chance to find Bridger,
yeah,
and then we'll kill them both. And then also at the same time, it's like,
will.
That's true. He's kind of following up on that technically. Like, so he's kind of allowing Baylan to.
Baylan
to
said
keep
no
that.
Harm will come.
Although,
to
Although Baylan did say no harm will come to you, and now we're gonna destroy you.
Yeah.
Destroy them with prejudice. I saw a bunch of people because I love it. That's the way Thrawn talks. If
yeah.
you see one of the Purgle space whale, destroy it with prejudice. So like what they're gonna shout some racial space slurs, some whale slurs at it, kill you, and also you're beneath me. You're not one of us. I'm going to kill you and also insult you on the way out.
Yeah.
I just want to see them pull up. And he's like, great, the space whale. And then the space whale opens his mouth. And it's Ahsoka. And he's, okay, we're back to the planet. We can't leave yet. We're going. We got to
yeah.
turn around the space whale.
I also thought it was
interesting
how the Night Sister says they were the first ones to learn to ride them.
They're riding the space whale. Through space. Like, through space and time. Just,
yes, they just hopped in their mouth and took them for a ride.
Have you seen any of the people that were speculating about that scene of Grogu looking at the space whales? And some people saying, like, is Grogu in that scene of Mando and he's looking like this? And they show the Purgle, like, off to the side.
Yeah.
And some people were like, is he doing that just because, like, whoa? Or is he, like, sensing, like, Ahsoka? And it feels
yeah.
like Ahsoka's out here with the space whales. Do you think, I mean, I think that they're probably not going to.
they just catch Mando in their mouth in the middle of hyperspace.
Mando's like, oh, Carabas.
Carabas.
Do you think there's going to be any tie to Mando at all in this show? I don't think it needs it.
I don't think so.
I don't think it needs it.
No. I mean, the only...
Maybe
the only,
last scene
the
of
only
the last
way I could see
something?
It tying to Mando...
They get back and...
Is if... The moment we see...
Carson's like, I need to call all my friends.
The only way I see it tying to Mando is if they get back and they bring the war with Thrawn to the known galaxy. And that is around the time that we see that, like, ending scene of Mando where Mando shows up and he's like, I can, I'm working with Teva, Carson, and Zeb.
Yeah.
And that's the moment of them... Of Zeb, we get Zeb now brought in to get kind of the rebels together
uh-huh.
with Mando to bring about like that is where they're at in time with that part where Mando and Grogu walk in to help out, and it leads to them coming to this. I don't know
because we don't know for certain yet if we'll get another season of Ahsoka before that show or before that film because I think the
yeah.
as of now
or Mando.
Well, true. As of now, I think the Filoni film is scheduled for like 2026, I think.
Yeah.
So it's still a few years away, but that's actually not that far away when you think of we're almost done with 2023. We're ending,
yeah.
ending
I 2024. Think it was sooner and then the strikes and stuff. And
Well, the
yeah.
Rey movie's supposed to be sooner.
Yeah.
Initially, there's supposed to be the Rey film and then
it'll be interesting
the Filoni
to see
film.
To see where it goes. But
wait,
yeah,
didn't they push... as of now, didn't the Rey film get bumped from December to the following May?
I think so.
And then Filoni's supposed to be, they're supposed to do a May, December the same year.
Scares me.
I know, a little
it
scared.
Scares me because last time that really
hurt. Scared, but also it's been so long that since really... that we'll see, and maybe
Iger said it was one of his biggest regrets. I'm just kidding.
They better. Well, he did say it was a huge mistake.
He did say it was not a big regret, but a big mistake having Solo.
It just depends
but
on
part
where,
of that too.
It depends
was,
on
part
the,
of it was the timing. Part of
it was
also
Infinity War.
It was competing with Infinity War.
But
the,
now we have other. Now we have other Avengers movies coming out.
Yeah, but everyone's things. Out on that.
Apparently, and apparently the writers and stuff of like Secret Wars are one of them keeps getting like they keep firing or getting changed yeah. like left and right. So who knows what's going on there?
There's a lot that's going on with
but
the Marvel.
I like the Howler. The Howler was both terrifying yeah. and then also by the end looked like a puppy dog.
Yeah.
The wait, this is, I had to pull this up. This
I
one
love,
of my
yeah.
favorites is the Noti. I'm not sure how you say the little turtle families, but when the ones. Like a baby, and it's like in a hammock.
Like, it's the weird quirkiness of Star Wars like that that I'm like, even in another galaxy.
I think
so
it was
great.
I think it was Harloff who loves the show, and he said I like this was not a short show, or like I love the runtime of this was in anything in the 40 minutes. I'm glad I would like it closer to an hour. It's not that I think that the runtime sometimes need to be longer. It's sometimes I'm like don't linger on that moment for that long. He's like. Like, do we really need to see 100 different of the snail people when I'm just, like, cooking up bacon? Like, he's like, I instead I would like 10 more seconds with Balin.
Yeah.
But that's just, I like that they're building. They're just showing, it's the lightness. They're showing the difference of the darkness around Thrawn. Not just darkness
yeah.
of the Force, but,
in
like,
Ezra.
He's literally delving in his own words, dark magic.
Dark magic. Yeah.
Dark magic. And then you have Ezra. Who's like, let's help these turtle snail people pick up camp because we don't move.
Yeah.
You know, we got to go this other side. And also, it's nice to have a character like Ezra who is in a show like this, which so far has had a lot of even our main characters. Sabine was frustrated and somber and sad in the beginning, a lot of their conversations. Ahsoka is lightening up a little bit now, but. Somber, sad,
yeah.
And then you get to Ezra, who's literally been stranded here from 10 years, and he's got a
and
good, happy,
lighthearted yeah.
vibe about him. So it
is
nice to not have everyone be so jaded
yeah.
and be.
Which is good the way they did that because it's very on par with Ezra's character development. He initially was the whiny, you know, kind of pessimistic kid, like we can't do that or whatever. To growing into becoming the lighthearted, optimistic character that we see. Kind of in this live action portrayal of him so far. Yeah, overall, I mean, I have no idea, like Darth says here in chat. I really have no idea what will happen in the last two episodes, and I love it. I love it too. There's so much mystery behind what's going on. I think Filoni's storytelling has been fantastic. Thrawn's live action appearance has been great. Captain, is it Captain Enoch? Captain?
Captain Enoch.
Captain Enoch, great addition. The face on the helmet is crazy.
He had a nice carved out nose on that face.
Yeah, I'm just so interested. Even the Night Sisters. I would have never thought that we'd get an origin story of the Night Sisters in this show. It's just
I know I
how
love
much
it.
Has been able to happen, not just in the last two episodes, but this whole show so far has been crazy. Ezra's life. I mean, there's just so much that we're getting. It's
I
great.
Love this. I was pulling up another... Just moment. I like because Thrawn's always so, you know, calm and collected and everything. But I love the reveal that they gave, or I love the reaction that they give us when the great mothers are talking to him. The Night Sisters talking to him again, and the threads have spoken. You know, the threads of fate have spoken to us again. Another arrives, a Jedi. They ride with the travelers, and he goes.
Ahsoka.
Well, that is unwelcome news.
Yeah. Well, that is unwelcome news.
He's like,
yeah.
And then when he asks, I love, though, the, can we assume that this is something that is Ahsoka Tano? Oh, it's impossible. Balin said Ahsoka was dead. He was sure of it. Yes, but Balin was also a Jedi, so now he's considered as flawed. And I just love that he's like, not only do I now have to deal with that, do I have to deal with Ahsoka Tano coming, but also, I also like that he's to Morgan. He's also putting Morgan in her place because he's like, you essentially, you stood up for these, for these mercenaries. And now, just so you know, they could be left here for dead as well. I couldn't care less. But also, just so you know, now I have to have my eye on them. Which also, it's like a boss who's saying, like, oh, you recommended I hire your friend.
Yeah.
Well, your friend's doing a terrible job. So just so you know. Like there will be repercussions.
Like
for
you're
you
on
as well.
You're on thin ice. Too.
Yeah, yeah. So I just love that, especially when you get her, who's like,
it's been
night
so
sister
devout
who's been,
to trying
who's
to get
been
to
hiding
Thrawn.
And doing all this stuff to get back. That also you see the great mothers, and she all of a sudden seems like kind of they do welcome her. She's like they're like welcome Dathomiri and all this stuff, but she also feels like less than.
And
she was like, we have these people who literally are sitting there with the threat.
It seems like someone who's idolizing Thrawn and wants to be more than what she is.
Like, yeah, it doesn't. It feels like for her, it feels like things are not going to end well for her.
No.
It just feels like Thrawn is the guy.
It's a puzzle piece.
He'll use her to get to wherever he's due, but that she's completely expendable. She's like the wormtail to Voldemort's return.
Yeah.
Like that's what it feels like.
She's
like
a chess piece.
Thank you so
game.
Much. Yes. By the way, I do need you to cut off your hand to do this potion so that I can revive myself. Like
anything.
Yeah.
There's just so much to unravel, and obviously the encounter between Ezra and Thrawn again. Does Ezra remind me? Does Ezra happen to have Kanan's saber? Does he have a lightsaber in this moment?
That is
that
a good question.
Is Sabine carrying? I mean, obviously Sabine has Ezra's old saber.
She has Ezra's.
I don't know.
Had a saber with Thrawn in that final moment. He was using the Force. He's using the Force in this. I don't remember that he has.
The reason I ask is because I just posed the question on Twitter, and when I did, I was trying to remember. Is it possible we see Ezra with a new saber that he's constructed maybe here? Which I don't know how that would be possible. You need a kyber crystal. But is it possible we see him get a new saber, or do we see Sabine keeping, or do we see Sabine giving him his old saber?
And how rusty will he be? We've seen a lot of people without.
Like, I don't know.
How much force? I mean, he's probably been using the force.
Or will he tell her to keep it?
Because
he knows that he might now find out she's been training for 10 years and tells her to keep it. I'm just curious to see if we see Sabine remaining in this role of trying to become a Jedi, or if Ezra will take her on as an apprentice or something like that. I don't know.
Ezra might come back and train Jason.
Yeah, I know. Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe not.
Maybe. I feel like the connection with Ezra and Sabine might lead to something like that.
Is Ahsoka?
But then Ahsoka maybe takes on Jason. They did tease that he needs a trainer, and that he wants to be trained. So it could be someone. Like Ahsoka or Ezra, I don't know. I could see Ezra taking him on, too.
I love this show so much.
It's so good.
I think the show has been
so
solid as far as, like, the storytelling, the characters have been great, while also having the mystical, like, this episode in particular is great because it's such a blend of the sci-fi and the high fantasy. This felt like King Arthur, like, Balin going on some quest for some ultimate thing, like, there's all that she's riding out in the wilderness. It's almost
what Filoni does such a good job at, and that we see in Clone Wars and Rebels, is that he does such a good job of developing the overarching story for Ahsoka, but also reminding the audience that each of these individual characters have their own story too. Like Balin's entire story and mission is essentially irrelevant to what's going on around him. Irrelevant to Thrawn's thing. He's got his own. So it's like he does a good job of, we see it in Rebels when you're balancing a group of characters that you have to tell a story for multiple people, main characters, and then to introduce some new ones in this and have them have their own purpose, their own mission, their own story behind what's actually going on and going to this world for their own power. He's doing a great job of tying in all the characters, but also keeping them very separate and having their own purpose and story. It's great.
I love it. I can't wait to see where it's going. We have two episodes
left. Can't wait to see. Any predictions? We'll wrap up with that. Any predictions for next episode?
I predict the next episode, I predict that Thrawn leaves Peridia.
You think he's leaving next episode?
I think he's leaving next episode.
You don't think Ahsoka holds him back at all?
I do think, well, I don't know. It's depending on the timing here. Because I don't think, the reason I say that is I don't think either Thrawn or Ahsoka are going to die in this show.
Well, Ahsoka won't ever die.
Dave will die before Ahsoka dies. So the reason I say that is what I'm thinking. Maybe they do see each other, confront something, but somehow she doesn't like pull a lightsaber and fight him. Even though she knows in her mind, she's like, he's the ultimate threat still out there in the galaxy in her mind. So that's the reason why I was thinking that they might pass each other, that they might
might miss him.
She might miss him because that will both still take care of our main characters who are left here.
Yeah.
Although, who knows about Baylan? I don't know. Baylan's like, am I just going to be here forever? Like, is Baylan trying to start or whatever he's doing on Peridia? He's trying to find some knowledge here and take it back with him. I don't know exactly what the plan is there.
I wonder if they make... Well, yeah.
Do you think they leave next episode?
Here's what I'm curious about. Is one, how do they get back? Is do they all happen to be on the same ship returning at the same time? Ahsoka, all of them?
Well, you got the whales.
Yeah, I know. Or do we see them take the whales back again?
Yeah.
I don't know. But, so that's one of my questions is do they all happen to make it back at the same time through the eye of Sion? Or do they take the, or do they make it back, Thrawn and them leave, and like you're saying, they cross paths, but then Ahsoka is stuck there with Ezra and Sabine, Baylan, Shin, with maybe some remnants of Thrawn's army that's going after them. But he even said, like, as long as we leave, they'll be left here.
Yeah.
So he's not as worried about them. He's like, yeah, their fate, I don't care about their fate as long as we get out of here, is essentially. But he does send people, like, it wouldn't surprise me if he sends people after him, take care of him. So I wonder if Thrawn leaves next episode, but we don't see entirely where it goes once he gets there. And then Ahsoka is showing up with and is left with Ezra, Shin, Baylan to try and flesh out what Baylan's after in the next episode before they come back in the finale to visit Thrawn, now destroying a big portion of the New Republic.
I could see Thrawn arriving in the known galaxy in the finale. They could feel like he's arrived.
I feel like that's the finale.
Happens.
Destruction, and that's
kind of
how it ends. Is showing the audience how big of a threat Thrawn is by destroying
them. That could be
the
finale. I don't know. It's interesting that they brought up her master. I'm not saying we're going to... I don't think there's going to be like another World Between Worlds Anakin thing or anything like that. It's just interesting, though, that the show went out of its way to say, we need to know everything about her, this, her master.
Yeah.
Which just...
Do we
me,
get the dialogue?
I don't know. I think a lot of that's...
Promotion?
Promotion.
I don't like that.
I mean, that's just... That's how it is. And again, I did see, though, which is a good point, that if they did do that for promotion, that it's actually was Dave, because Dave didn't want to reveal any of what Anakin was going to say. So it's less of, hey, I'm trying to confuse you and we're going to give you something and it's not going to be in the show. It's more of that, or it's less of that and more of, I want to show you that Anakin's in the show and I don't want you to hear... I don't want you to get the actual taste of what they're talking about yet, because it's so important. I don't want to get, I won't fight you. I've heard that before. Like, you can't give that stuff away. Or like, I can't say snips in the promo, because I don't want to give away the fact that we're going to get young, because it's young Anakin who's calling her snips a lot.
I don't know. We'll see.
So there's some of that makes sense that you know, in this war, you can face more than just droids. I know you can do this, Ahsoka. I don't know if that's... But again, it's so interesting that they brought up Anakin again. So, I do think that we could go down that thread of Thrawn, Anakin. He could even have... He might even bring up Anakin by name to Ahsoka if they do see each other.
Yeah,
it just depends, honestly, on how heavily this show wants to lean into. I'm not talking Legends, to the new Thrawn books, where Thrawn and Anakin have a history, a long history, where they spent significant time together on a planet. They went,
they're
doing all this stuff together, and they had this like long experience together, and then he's piecing together, oh wait, this, and it shows in this novel, like Tarkin doesn't know that Anakin is Vader. Like, they're keeping this secret. The Emperor knows, and the Emperor's not telling Thrawn, but Thrawn's so smart that only because he has spent the time with Anakin pre-Vader does he recognize that, oh, that Anakin Skywalker. Like, when they're like, oh, the Jedi are killed. Yeah. Anakin must have been killed. And he's like, starts thinking, like, the Anakin I know wouldn't have died easily. Like, this does, like he starts piecing together, like, this doesn't really make sense. You're just assuming that this guy, like, I was around this guy. He was, like, he knows he was special. Yeah. Thrawn knows a lot about Anakin.
And how much does Thrawn know about the fall of the Empire?
Well, so there's, again, there's so much in the novels that it's interesting, because
with
there's
him
some
being
of the
gone
stuff that's
for
going
9 years.
Yeah, oh, the fall of the Empire.
That's
yeah,
I mean,
the fall of the Empire.
How much does he know? He's been gone for 9 years.
Don't know.
Because he seems to know somewhat of what's going on in the other galaxies.
I mean, how about the fact that...
Yeah. He's obviously been in communication with Morgan.
He's been in communication with... Well, so, but Morgan's been communicating with the Night Sisters.
Right.
Like, that's, that, I
like, so,
that,
like,
the fact that
because
they,
of that, it makes me wonder how much he actually knows about the Empire falling and that.
I also like the way that they explain that, because I thought in the initial... In that, I want to say it was episode 2 or episode 3, where they're looking at the star map, and she's looking at the map to on the pathway to Peridia, and she says, Thrawn's been calling to me. And I always thought, like, it's interesting that Thrawn doesn't have supernatural powers. Like, that's,
I know.
Like, how, I don't think that's Thrawn.
But it's been
the Night Sisters on behalf of Thrawn, which really makes a lot of sense. And I think it's a great way to handle that.
I think it's interesting, too, and we can wrap up here in a minute, but if I'm just trying to picture what it would look like if Ahsoka did show up before they left to go back to the known galaxy.
Yeah.
And how that would play out, because unless there is Night Sister and dark magic involvement in, like, combat there with Ahsoka's arrival with Ezra and Sabine, like, the Thrawn and the troopers don't have special powers, like, unless there's the dark, like, some sort of dark magic. So, like, as far as, like, an actual physical fight against them with the Force, they're obviously a lot more powerful, but it'd be interesting to see. So I'm kind of see if she did show up before they take off, what would that encounter actually look like? Makes me wonder.
By the way, this is something I was thinking about when you're talking about the encounter and Thrawn and those troopers. I think that they were labeled as night troopers which is such a cool, it's such a cool
night
name.
Troopers.
Night troopers. That's what it says.
I'm telling
night
you,
night troopers chanting Thrawn, Thrawn, Thrawn.
I
what
think
a they're, great they're night sister they're the night yeah. troopers the night sisters
they're dead dude
I think that there's some there's
I
some dark
dead.
Magic going on with them, dude,
because they are brainwashed
troopers. The fact that they're called night troopers and
they're
they
dead.
Have right behind them the night sisters, you're like, this is, he said, I need more of your dark magic.
Yeah.
Like, give me, we need to, where's more of the bodies from the catacombs?
And it would make sense why he would even team up with them, because if they could bring his army back, then he'd be like, yeah, I need my army.
They also didn't have, to me, it sounded like they didn't have the typical, even though they have the voice box and stuff, it didn't sound like even when they were chanting, it sounded like normal stormtroopers.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Not even just Enoch, but like the normal, it didn't sound
that's what
normal.
I mean. All of them,
yeah.
Yeah, they're dead, dude. I know some people are saying, like, oh, I don't know if there's not, like, I don't think there's necessarily zombies, like,
they're there, though, because of dark magic.
They're, yeah.
I think so, for sure. Night Troopers, that just sold me on. Night Troopers, you have the Night Sisters. Also, how great is it that we have another Stormtrooper? We've got, like, the Beach Troopers.
And they're all different.
You've got the Sand Troopers.
You know how many cool Funkos they're going to make out of these Troopers?
Especially because they've got all a bunch of, like, the... There's like looking back. There's one of the stormtroopers who just is like looks. He's like beat up, but looks kind of normal. But it has a gray helmet, a solid gray helmet. You're like, dude, where are you getting gray?
One of them's black helmet with some white on it. Like it literally looks like the Night Sisters just puzzled up the wreckage.
They're just like putting
of
together.
These people and put them together, and that's what it's supposed to be.
I love it,
dude.
All right, dude.
It's gonna be sick.
I love it. Where can the people find us, Nate?
Hey, thanks for tuning in. If you made it this far, why? No. thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. You guys can reach out to us. We always love to hear your questions. You can drop them, your comments, questions, whatever you got for us in the comments on this video. Once we end the live, or if you're listening to this back, drop it in the comments. You can also reach out to us directly on Instagram at Star Wars Guys Pod. Send us a DM. Let us know what you want us to talk about. Any questions you want us to address. We post some updates and things on there, but you can find us probably the easiest here on YouTube, or if you're listening to us on any podcasting platform. We appreciate you all tuning in. We'd love to hear your thoughts about the Ahsoka show, where things are going, your predictions. We're both on Twitter tweeting all the time about the show, about different things that we're kind of putting together or piecing together.
You've been getting some good momentum on Twitter.
Yeah, so it's been a lot of fun on Twitter as well. So we'll catch you guys in the next one. Thanks for tuning in. Loving this series. We finally got the return of Thrawn and Ezra. We'll see you guys next time. And as always, may the Force be with you.
If you survive this long, I'm sure Ezra's fine.
You have gambled.
If you made it this far and you enjoyed that episode, don't forget to like, subscribe, and tell a friend about us here at Star Wars Guys. Your support is much appreciated, and it never goes unnoticed. We'll see you all in the next episode.